Those things become the things that are important to them. Amen. Forgetting what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Praise God, that you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of this other stuff will be added unto you. Praise God. When we began in our life, praise God, to seek things, praise God, rather than God, it will be the things that will lead us and the things that will take us to our ultimate destination. Praise God. But not only that, we still have others who decide to worship self. Amen. Everything evolves around them. Amen. There are three people that's in their life that is just as famous as can be. You know who they are? Me, myself, and I. Amen. Those are the only folk that mean anything in their life. Praise God. And not realizing that when you make something else a God, other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, praise God, that ultimately destruction is going to be in your way. So we have to make a decision concerning who we will worship. But another decision that we have to make, praise God, and I'm talking straight to the young folk here today, the real young, praise God, is that we have to face the decision of life, what life's vocation that we are going to encounter in life. What I mean by that, how we are going to earn our living, praise God, what profession we will be, and to what we will dedicate our energy. You see, choosing to become a Christian early and with the uttermost part of our intellect, praise God, we can choose a profession with the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, and when he leads you into a profession, praise God, it's going to be a profession that's going to be solid. It's going to be a profession that's going to be lasting. It's going to be a profession that you are going to be very, very comfortable with and very happy with. And finally, praise God, during our youth, praise God, we must face the opportunity and the responsibility of choosing a mate for life. Amen. Amen. Somebody getting quiet on me now. Amen. I'm not preaching yet, y'all. I'm just getting warmed up here. Amen. You see, no other earthly decision, praise God, will affect your human happiness more than your choice of the person who will be your soul mate. Praise God. I'm talking about the one who you are going to marry. And I got to drop this on these young folk, praise God. Amen. Young folk, don't you make that decision based upon the Holy Spirit leading you. Don't you let your hormones, hallelujah, don't let those hormones make that choice for you. Praise God. Don't let your good looks and your figure eight shape make that decision for you. Praise God. Because I won't go there, y'all. I won't go there. I just won't go there. Praise God. You see, we have to make those decisions as to who is going to be our soul mate for life. You see, not only, praise God, do we need the guidance of our heart and our mind, but we also need the guidance of the Lord, praise God, Jesus Christ, in making this choice. Amen. If you find somebody, praise God, that you have fallen in love with, praise God, you need to go to the Lord and pray about this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And the Lord, if he put you together, let me tell you something. Praise God. If he put you together, there is nothing in this earth that's going to blow it apart. Some people say, well, you know, when we got married, man, we were singing that song, praise God, midnight in the paradise. And praise God, before long, we were singing that other song that's called Stormy Weather. Me and my gal just can't stay together. But praise God, I'm here to tell you, praise God, that if you pray over that mate, hallelujah, praise God, when those storms come in your life, praise God, he'll smooth it out for you. Amen. I'm not trying to let you know, Deacon Dearborn just talked about the fact that he was married to the same woman for 53 years. Praise God. I can sit here, if he was to get up here and start confessing, praise God, the number of fusses and fights he got in over that 53 years, man, we'll be here for next year. But guess what? Amen. They still there. Amen. So that's a choice. That was my first point, praise God. That when we start talking about the time to make a choice, praise God, that's a time for decision. But not only is it a time for decision, it's a time of dedication. Amen. That's my second D. You see, many young people are dedicated to many things. Some are dedicated to athletics. Amen. When they get dedicated to athletics, they focus their entire being, praise God, on becoming a professional, whatever player it is. Amen. At the expense, praise God, of neglecting their education. Amen. Because let me tell you something. Amen. It's all right to pursue being a professional basketball player, football player, baseball player, tennis player, whatever kind of player you want to be. But praise God, more importantly, you ought to execute and get something on the inside of your head bone. Because praise me, let me tell you something. I've seen a lot of professionals, praise God. I'm talking about great college players, praise God, who didn't get drafted. Praise God, I've seen a lot of basketball players who can shoot not only the three-pointer, but praise God, they'll shoot the four-pointer if they ever invent one of those. But praise God, they didn't get anything on the inside of their head. And I'm not saying that people are not blessed with those naturally given talents. But praise God, what I'm saying is this. Everybody who is a great player is not drafted. And praise God, and what happens if you get hurt on the way? Amen. You got to have something that you are going to fall back on. So don't get dedicated, praise God, to just becoming a professional. Praise God. Get an education, young folk. Amen. Something that's going to keep you, praise God, on throughout this world. Not only do they get dedicated, praise God, to athlete, but some of them get dedicated to having a life of fun. Amen. You know, everything is fun. They wanna party all the time. Can I tell you? I'm about to tell on myself. That was an old saying that nobody can party like the party can party, that the party can party can party. Amen. But let me tell you something. That's more to life than partying. Amen. I'm trying to reach some of these young people, praise God. And I know that you think that once you give your life to Christ, that, oh, well, that means that I got to come in here and sing kumbaya and all that. No, praise God. But you have to, praise God, give your life to Jesus Christ and not worry about partying all the time. You see, there's some thing that goes on in parties, praise God, that will lead to destruction. Let me give you a couple examples. You see, illicit drugs and vast amount of alcohol, praise God, illicit sex, those things are only going to destroy your life and not build your life. Every time I think about the prodigal son, you know what comes across my mind? I say, here's a boy that wanted to have some fun. Praise God, he wanted to party. He was tired of taking his daddy's rule, but I want you to be home at a certain time. Praise God. And he said, Father, amen, I want you to give me my stuff, amen, so I can go on out here and live like everybody else. I'm looking at brother so-and-so, and he allowed his child to go out and they could party all night long. You know why I don't allow no child of mine that came up in my house were gonna party all night long? Never happened. That was a time they had to be in. Praise God. When they were of a certain age, they were in high school, they were going to be home at 11 o'clock. Unless that was something at school that went past 11. Amen. They weren't going to be out all night long. Praise God. Talking about, well, we can at least stay out until 1. No, there was no 1 o'clock in my house. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, praise God, we have to train these children, praise God, as to what we want them to do in life. Praise God. And if we don't do it, let me tell you something, the streets will certainly do it. And you're not going to like the way the streets going to raise your child. Amen. So there's a dedicated to lives of fun. But praise God, there's one other dedication that people love today. Praise God, they're dedicated their life to the worship of God. And I like that. Hallelujah. I look around this church, praise God, and not only this church, there are other churches, praise God. When I see young people, praise God, who are dedicating their lives to God, amen. I look at these praise dancers when they get up here, amen. They get up here, and not that they're just getting up here just dancing, praise God. I try to tell them, you need to listen to the lyrics of the song that you are dancing to. You need to allow that song to get in the spirit that you have, amen. And if you allow that spirit to get into your spirit, praise God, and you will be able to dance, amen, and people will give you all the applaud that you deserve, amen. So we find that when we make the right choice, praise God, is a time of decisiveness. It's a time of dedication. But one other D I want to talk about, praise God, that when it comes to time of making the right choice, it becomes a time of desecration. You see, it is a tragic that some young folk have desecrated their lives to the extent that they have almost completely destroyed the possibilities, praise God, for living a full and happy life. Amen. I was listening at the news the other day. Amen. And when I see about four or five, y'all may have heard the same thing. Four or five young folk broke into that place and robbed two priests or something like that. Amen. I'm talking about folk that's messing up their whole life. I'm talking about a 10-year-old, praise God, girl that was on the news the other day who took a babysitter's daughter, praise God, who were babysitting and took, praise God, I guess the baby was crying too much. And this 10-year-old girl, praise God, took this little baby and just strangled this baby to death. Praise God. That was on the news Friday. Amen. And have destroyed her life. Amen. Amen. So I'm fine when we start talking about that degradation. Praise God. I look at the young folks today. They got everything pierced that can be pierced. Praise God. They got tattoos everywhere that they can put a tattoo. Amen. Don't you know that you're not supposed to defile this body? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Praise God. And you don't shouldn't have your body all tattooed up, all pierced up, all up, whoop.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.
It'll be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hands.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to worry.
Got the gospel. Transmitting
all
day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
We thank you afresh today for the fact that you are God all by yourself. All power is in your hand and you can do whatever you want to do. And therefore, God, we are grateful to know that trouble don't last always. And we put you right now, God, in charge of every situation and circumstance in our life. And we believe by faith this too shall pass. We give you praise, glory, and honor now as we enter into your word. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Change us. Give to us what is necessary, Lord God, that we might see ourselves in the text, and then, Lord, be able to give you praise, glory, and honor for how you profit us in this text and in the belief of the text. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give somebody the Lord, give somebody the praise. Come on. Somebody give him some. Somebody give him some praise. Trouble don't last always. It came to pass. Touch your neighbor and say, it came to pass. That's why it's here. Amen. It came to pass. And sometime it passed in front of your door. And sometime it stays over a few days at your house. Even when you move from your old house and you move from your old friends, sometime trouble finds you at your new house. And you need to tell them trouble don't live here anymore. Hallelujah. From the book of Exodus, chapter 14, and I'm going to look at verse 13 because it's just all in my heart. Exodus 14 and verse 13. And it simply says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Say goodbye to your troubles. Help me preach this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, say goodbye to your troubles. Now, if you really believe that, I believe you can give God a better praise than that. Permit me, if you will, to set this verse up in the brevity of time. Because, of course, this whole 14th chapter deals with the great story of the children of Israel being at the Red Sea and God working this phenomenal miracle on their behalf. But I think you need to understand that this story unfolds, and right in the midst of the Israelites having believed God, having trusted God to leave Egypt and to make their way to the promised land, the land that God had promised his people. And they find themselves now between wildernesses on the left and the right, and the Red Sea in front of them, and the approaching army of Pharaoh behind them. They have gotten themselves in a mess, and they are all hysterical. They're upset. They are without soundness. And they ask Moses questions like, were there no graves in Egypt, and were you not satisfied with that? Did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Didn't we tell you, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. And so when you begin to understand all that interplays, because now they know that the Egyptians now are coming after them, and it's not simply to take them back. And so they know that they are at an impasse, because there is no record ever before of the Red Sea ever being split. And so it was an impossibility in front of them. And it was an unlikelihood that Pharaoh was coming to congratulate them for leaving. And so the record says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The first thing he deals with is fear. Because fear, listen, my brothers and sisters, is exalted when faith is defaulted. Fear is exalted when faith is defaulted. And so the reality was, Moses was able to see the fact that fear had overcome them, had gripped them, that they had lost their faith in what God had promised them and how God would deliver them. And so he helps them to understand, if you're going to ever get anything that God has for you, you're going to have to deal with the fear factor. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where your enemies are. What you got to know is what God said, he will back it up. So here, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to look at them and hear them and see them, they're moving all around. They're restless. They're squirming. They're scared. They're hollering. They're screaming. They are unsettled. And he says, fear ye not. One of the reasons why God doesn't want us to fear, and this is the kind of fear that's unreverential. This is the fear that comes from being afraid. These kind of fears that come as a doubt to the believing of God's word. This kind of fear is fostered by the enemy, who makes us believe that God is not able to back up what he said. So when he talks about this kind of fear, he says, fear ye not. Not fear a little bit. Not fear some. But he says, fear ye not. No fear. When you reach the pinnacle of your trials and your tribulations, you've got to know, in order for God to be pleased and for God to usher in his promises, you have to be void of fear. So the first thing Moses does is he puts their fears in check. Fear can't live here anymore. But now notice here, he goes on, because fear is not just the only thing that's here in the text. Because when he talks about fear ye not, again, it's not just the absence of fear that he's trying to tell them that must be a reality, but there must be the presence of faith. The presence of faith. Look at what he goes on to say. Stand still. Stand still. How can you stand still when you're afraid? When you see the enemy approaching and you know your life is on the line, how can you stand still when everything in you is falling apart? How can you stand still when you're looking for a hiding place and a running place and there's no place to hide? How can you stand still unless faith is moving and flowing on the inside of you? Now listen to what he does. He literally speaks faith to them after he tells them, you can't have no fear. Well, if you can't have no fear, what must I do? And he says, stand still, because now he's trying to get their confidence level back to where it ought to be in God, and that requires faith. So he says, stand still, and conjunction, see the salvation of the Lord. Now, one of the things that you need to know, my brothers and sisters, you can't see God working if you're running. You can't see God working the matter out if you're fearful and if you've got your eyes closed and if you're scared of what you might see or what might happen in a moment, he says, listen, I need you to stand still. One, what this says to the enemy is that you ain't running no more. You've taken a stand. And that stand is based upon what God has promised you. Listen, and when you take that stand, all heaven takes notice of the fact that you believe what God said. And your salvation or your demise will come at whether God fulfills what he promised you or not. But in any case, you're going to stand right there until it's over. But notice that he doesn't just want them to stand. He wants them to see the salvation of, which means origin of, the Lord. In other words, what he's telling them to do is, I need you to stand still and watch what's getting ready to happen. He wants them to be filled with anticipation and expectation of the move of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the problems with many of us is because we're fearful and because we don't have the faith that we ought to operate in, we can never, ever stand still and watch what God is getting ready to do. Our lives are filled with unrest and uneasiness, and we're running here and we're running there to this person, to this post, to that post. Every situation, because we can't stand still and believe God. And so, my brothers and sisters, see the salvation of God. This word salvation represents two words. It represents deliverance and saving. Deliverance and saving. Now, if you stand still, God will deliver you. But he's not delivering you just to deliver you. He's delivering you to save you for what he's got for you. And it wouldn't make no sense for him to save me if I'm not going to anything better than what I'm dealing with right now. So the salvation of the Lord is more than deliverance from my enemy and from my problems and from my trouble. It is the saving of me for the blessings that he has promised me. When I begin to realize, listen, that troubles came to make me strong, it's only because God needs me in a better place than I am in when he releases the better blessings he has for my life. See, the reason why some of us can't get what God has for us right now is we're not strong enough to handle them. And every time we go through things and we go through struggles and we exercise our faith, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And God delivers us out of this, but it's not time yet to save us for that he has for us. So he lets us go through some more stuff. And we exercise our faith and we get stronger. And he's ready to give it to, but we ain't quite ready yet. So he lets us go through some more stuff. And he just keeps on and we keep exercising our faith. Every time we go through some stuff and he delivers us out of it, we're stronger when we came out than when we went in. And it's all for the purpose of being able to enjoy the blessings that he has for us. So he deals with fear, the fear of the people. But next thing is so important, and I've already begun to deal with it, but I need to make it clear that he also deals with the focus of the people. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Focus. Focus. When you stand still and focus on the hand of God, moving in your situation. A lot of things don't make sense while you're going through them, while you're moving and rushing and while you're here and there. But when you get a chance to stand still and observe closely what God is doing, it changes.